This episode of La Verdad Podcast is brought to you by our friend Sonia Figueroa of CSonia.com.
You know, Christian, there are times when I'm handing over my rent money that I'm like, man, how much money have I thrown away?
It's true, Vife. You know, you want this sense of independence and you move out and find an apartment and everything seems great until you realize how much money you're just giving away to someone else.
I know, man. Purchasing a home has definitely been on my mind a lot lately. And I just have so many questions. You know, they don't teach you these things in school.
Well, thankfully, Sonia Figueroa is here to help. She's an expert when it comes to purchasing a home, especially for first-time buyers like you.
Check out our chica, Sonia Figueroa, at csonia.com. That is www.seesonia.com. And find her on all social media platforms to get started on your journey towards becoming a homeowner. That's true independence.
And mi gente, ella habla español.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast. And we just spent about 10 minutes talking about V-Fig and her hair and how she brushes her hair during the interview. V-Fig, how are you?
I'm good. I'm trying not to. I really am. It's just a habit.
It's a habit. You know, one of the things that we noticed was in the last episodes that we were doing, como the last three or four episodes, que Vanessa cuando se pone un poquito nerviosa, she gets a little nervous, she starts grabbing her hair. So now it's in her conscious. Yeah, ahora se pasa, like, making sure that her hair is not, it's in a bun or it's not actually all tangled up, so.
I try to put it down and look presentable a little bit, my jacket, because it's freezing in here, but whatever. I think it'll be funny if someone actually counts how many times I touch my hair.
You know, that's a good point. If you want to turn off the AC, you could go ahead and do that so that it doesn't sound real.
I will certainly turn that
It's
off.
The green button all the way to the right. We are live, mi gente, so that's why we're kind of messing around and doing things as we go. That's the beauty of doing a podcast, right? Que puede ser todo real relaxing. You don't have to worry about being on a 30-second gap or lo que sea. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because if you've noticed, I have a wonderful guest here. Vino desde Florida. Bendición.
Hey, saludo. Bendiciones para todo. God bless everyone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here.
So for those of you who do not know who this man is, maybe you recognize the voice.
Probably.
But not the face, right?
Hey, watch it.
So, Luis Guillermo, who's my uncle, if you've been following La Verdad since a year already, no,
más de un año.
Yeah, a year and a couple of months. Luis Guillermo actually blessed me with being the first guest that we ever had in the podcast. And now, a year and some months later, he's back. Now he's actually in our studio. The first one that we recorded, we actually recorded in his studio in Florida, in the Kissimmee, Orlando area. We actually went all the way out there and I was so nervous. I had to sit down with him and he gave me some pointers. So for
now I'm nervous.
Porque tenemos la cámara y la lámpara donde quiera.
All the lights and cameras and people looking at me, but I'm okay.
So the reason I say that he gave me pointers is because if you do not know, perhaps you're probably listening from New York or you're probably listening from Denmark or Amsterdam, because we have listeners all the way over there.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, yeah.
You probably didn't have heard of La Ike Tropical or were not around for when La Ike Tropical was a big hit here in Chicago. So La Ike Tropical was a radio show in the Chicago area. I'm trying to adjust my microphone here. In the Chicago area, it went from being, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, it went from being an AM radio show, right, to being the most talked about radio show in the Chicagoland area, being that it wasn't an AM station. Back then, right. FM was the hit, right?
Yes, sir.
So when I say that he gave me pointers is that he's been doing radio for a very long time. I would say half of his life.
Yeah, I was fixing radios. Yeah. People used to bring me the radios and I used to just fix them. And
that's what he did for them. No, but he actually, he was part of the prime time for La Ike Tropical. He also did a lot of different shows in the city. So his persona, his way of being able to be an MC at events, I looked up to for a very long time. So he gave me pointers on how to do stuff in the show. Obviously, we add our own twist here and there.
That was pre-V-Fig days. Yeah. I wasn't there either.
But he gave me a lot of pointers. I mimic a lot of the things that he does. But we wanted to bring him back today To kind of recap that story, vamos a hablar un poquito más de esa historia otra vez. And we'll do it in Spanglish, so forgive me for those that don't understand Spanish.
He will translate for
I'll
me
translate,
now.
I'll throw it in there.
See, most of the time, and I'm sorry that I caught you up, but most of the time when the feelings comes out from me, I had to come out in Spanish, and the Spanish station, it was Spanish. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, I translate, I can translate it.
Yeah, so... The main reason I wanted to bring you back out here today is porque como tenemos nuevos seguidores, new followers, new people that are listening to the show, perhaps they haven't gone back to listen to that first show.
Probably not. It's a lot of children.
And the first show, I was nervous, you know, and it was very, it was a good interview, but it was also very, very, let me read a question, you answer the question. It wasn't a flow, no era una conversación. So I want to have a conversation, and I want to talk a little bit more about how did you get to become part of the radio, right? Because I don't think we touched upon that too much. No hablamos mucho de eso. No. Aquella vez hablamos de
how
cómo
did I
era.
Came here
yeah.
to Chicago when I moved here to Chicago one year.
Pero quiero hablar un poquito más de esa parte de la historia porque a lo mejor hay mucha gente que están escuchando y
we
dirán.
Can we can start from the story.
Y dirán, man, yo quiero ser locutor.
Go way back.
Lo quiero ser.
Go all the way back to the very beginning.
You want to go back all the way back to 1979?
All the way back.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's
we're
do
gonna
it.
We're going to be so, here for a while. So go all the way back.
There's a lot of years going, but we're going to make it short because the good thing about it is we could do it live. We could do it on a camera. We can make everything short. But when you live those years, mm-hmm. it's not going to be so short. But when talk, it's going to be short. So any questions? Awesome. I'm ready.
Awesome. But before we begin the actual interview, I do want to ask you guys to go ahead and like our page, La Verdad LTD. I'm sure you're watching the Facebook Live right now through the Engoso page and through Luis Guillermo's page. It would be amazing if you guys could go onto our page and just like, share, subscribe. We do not only do interviews, we also do out bigger things within the community. We're trying to do events, we're trying to do different videos and things for you to be able to see what's happening not only in the Chicago area but within Latinos all over the U.S. So if you have a second, please go and like our page. We're available in all the social media platforms, that is Instagram, Twitter and as La Verdad LTD. And if you're listening to the podcast right now, go ahead and like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you're listening to it through the Android app, we're through Twitter. Twitter. El pajarito.
El pajarito, huh?
Pero Twitch.
Cuidado, no diga eso, que yo por poco pierdo el trabajo por el pajarito.
Oh, man.
But I think we should also thank all of our followers, too. You mentioned how we started with a very small following, and now I haven't looked at the numbers at all, but we're definitely growing. So thank you to, obviously, everybody that's supported us from the very beginning, all of our new people. Thanks for listening.
We totally appreciate it.
Supporting.
I called out from the beginning to now that we are doing it now live, that we're not recording like you came into the studio. I called out blessings, and you guys are going to receive more and more.
That's awesome.
Amazing. And it's something that's been beautiful to see. Also, I wanted to give a huge shout out to my boy, Jonathan, who has the Right Through podcast.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Shut up.
Back in Puerto Rico, it's like High Through.
Right Through. High Through. So I'm rocking the t-shirt today. Gracias. Go ahead and check him out. He does a lot of podcasts revolving around the Puerto Rican culture, especially the bomba scene. So the bomba musicians kind of get onto his
what's the
podcast.
Translation for that?
Is right through one? It's a English. It's not a Spanish word at all. It's just a Spanglish for right away, like right through. You know.
No. Right through is mean like almost like that, and also too like when it's like everything is okay.
Yeah.
Like what they usually they say, right through, man, de verdad, sí, de verdad. So, you know, the words just sound like
all
that.
Right.
It's cool.
Definitely.
It's cool.
And I'm going to ask Vanessa to turn on the AC again. Porque ya me estoy muriendo aquí de calor. So, before we, so now that we got that out of the way, bienvenido.
Gracias, de verdad. Es un placer estar aquí una vez más con ustedes, esta vez en vivo. Porque, como dijiste, la primera vez fue grabado de directamente desde que hicimos los estudios de engoso.com. Pero yo siempre quería y siempre te lo decía que cuando estuviera otra vez en Chicago, venía otra vez para tu estudio para hacer la entrevista ahora en vivo y a todo color. Es un placer.
Gracias. For those of you who do not know Spanish, basically the first time that he got with us was in the Engoso Studios, which is in Florida.
That's
so
right.
He didn't come here escaping the hurricane,
which,
by the way, our thoughts and prayers go out to all those people that are enduring the hurricane right now in Florida.
Yes.
So if you're watching from Florida, you're definitely in our thoughts and prayers.
Everywhere.
But he's here in town because it's his grandson's Yes, grandson's.
Yes, it's my grandson's birthday today. I mean, people really call me and send me messages, and I'm like, "Are you escaping Irma?" I'm like, "No, I'm not. Irma, if Irma see me, she's going to escape from me." But no, I'm here because I purchased a ticket a long time ago because I wanted to be again with my grandson. Mm-hmm. Today is his birthday, 11 years old, and I'm here to celebrate with him. And also, on top of that, celebrate my daughter's pregnancy. I'm going to be a grandfather again.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
And how do you like Chicago? How does it feel like home?
You know what? It feels like home. Yes, it does feel like home. Sometimes I think, like, stay here. But it's a purpose that I'm in Florida right now for a reason. I'm never going to say that I'm not coming back. I said, if now that I changed my life, God touched my heart, I'm going to say that if God sent me back in here, I will be here.
But you're from Chicago, though, no?
Born and raised, born in Puerto Rico, and opened my eyes in Ponce, Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
But I opened my mouth and my eyes completely here in Chicago. So
got
Chicago
it.
Is my city.
Okay. ¿Y llegaste a qué edad llegaste a Chicago?
Llegué en el 1979, no sé si era, tenía 15 o 16 años.
Okay, so llévanos para atrás, ponme esa película de 1979 cuando llegó Luis Guillermo a Chicago.
Mira,
¿a dónde llegaste?
En el 1979, I came from Ponce, Puerto Rico. You know, usually when you have big family, you got brothers and sisters. I was very attached to my sister Sheila, your Titi. And when Sheila moved here in 1979, I was very kind of like down because I was not with my partner, which is Sheila, my sister. So I decided to move this way also, too. Move with my two titis, named Olga and Titiada. And just following my sister. So when I came here, I went through a lot, which I don't want to talk about all what I went through on 1979.
Una pregunta, porque hemos tenido diferente gente que han pasado por el programa y nos dicen que llegan de Puerto Rico, llegan de México, pero yo nunca le he preguntado ¿Cómo se sintió ir a una tierra que no uno
mira,
conocía?
La verdad que cuando yo vine aquí en el 79 me sentía diferente, me sentía raro. Siempre usaba esta expresión, ¿dónde está el hijo de Monín? Mi mamá, tu abuela. Y caminaba por las calles, miraba mucha de la juventud cómo se maltrataba, a la cual le doy gracias a Dios que nunca los imité. Muchos de los jóvenes cuando vienen para acá se sienten encerrados. En aquel momento escuchaba de los jóvenes que decían, es que yo no tengo amistades. Yo no vine en son de buscar amistades. Yo vine, una, pues, me hacía falta mi hermana, y otra, quise aprender el inglés.
¿Eso no sabía inglés en esos tiempos?
No sabía inglés. Me sentía perdido. Caminaba por aquí, por como le llaman el barrio.
Ajá.
Especialmente donde yo me crié fue en la Ketzi y Palmer.
Que viene siendo, what's that neighborhood
called? Logan Square.
Yeah.
Logan Square. Y de ahí, pues, caminaba, corría por el Palmer Park, porque tú sabes que yo antes corría maratones y cosas. Para mantenerme siempre, pues, en forma. Ahora estoy en forma, pero más formado de otra manera. Pero me sentía perdido, me sentía desorientado, me sentía que no podía comunicarme con nadie. Se me hizo difícil la comunicación con otros seres humanos acá, especialmente puertorriqueños también, porque habían unos que se llamaban puertorriqueños, pero son puertorriqueños nacidos acá, que lo que ellos siempre hablaban era inglés. Y yo, para comenzar a hablar el inglés, se me hizo difícil. Y no fue nada fácil levantarme, venir de la isla de Puerto Rico caliente para venir al frío y aprender un idioma.
Y el tiempo que viniste era el invierno ya, ¿verdad?
Sí, era invierno.
Y eso es algo que se me hace... Yo siempre que me pongo a pensar para atrás, cuando viene la gente de diferentes lugares, es que yo me pongo a pensar, man, ¿cómo habrá sido esa transición del caliente al frío, primeramente? Pero también de la cultura. La cultura es bien diferente. Aquí no se puede caminar donde quiera. En esos tiempos, especialmente.
Sí.
Porque en los tiempos de eso era que estaban las guerras bien fuertes entre las gangas. Especialmente Logan Square, Humboldt Park area. So my thought has always been, like, how do these people do it, right? How you have to be very brave to come from a different country. Y no es que era rico. No es que tenía
dinero
plata, donde quiera. So tenías que trabajar, tenías que aprender el inglés. So llegaste aquí, estuviste con la familia, entraste a la high school.
Claro, fui a la escuela Carshares High School, la que está en la Milwaukee, Addison. Estudié ahí 2 años. En un momento dado, en el crecimiento tuve problemas, porque yo mismo me los creé. Porque uno a veces dice, no, que tengo problemas, porque uno mismo se los crea. Sí. Porque cuando uno va por el camino correcto, uno no se crea problemas. Regresé a Puerto Rico en el 81.
Ok.
Y allá fue donde terminé.
¿Y allá estaba abuelito?
Sí, estaba mi mami y mi papi. Allá terminé en la high school. Donde agarré, fíjate, agarré el diploma que dice Puerto Rico.
Okay. Porque también es something big to signify, right? That you came here without your parents.
Right,
because, you know, so that's a different story, because when you're 15, 16, mm-hmm. and you're coming here without your parents, tenías que creciste rápido.
You had to make yourself mature. A man. Yes. And it was very tough. I mean, especially trying to find a job before you put an application. And I did lie on the application. I put that I was 17, 18, so I could get a job and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, to learn the English, I was just carrying with a dictionary on my pocket. Back then, there was dictionary.
Because the school, I mean, obviously, everything's in English.
Correct.
Right?
When I came, I said, oh, we're going to put you in the bilingual program. Uh-uh. Everything's straight English. And I remember the teacher was like, Luis Bartolome. And then he was talking to me in English. I'm like, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say what I was thinking. I'm like, Diablo le pasa al hombre este que no entiendo ni lo que dice.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it was tough, like, for me. It was tough for me. Yeah. I even remember it was this class, workshop. I don't know if that guy's still alive, and if it's alive, God bless him.
They're probably, we have a lot of listeners from Schurz Kelvin Park, so they probably know who you're talking about.
I don't know. He used to have blue eyes. I forgot his name. But I remember one time that he came to me when I started going to school, and he goes to me in Spanish. Si tú te metes a mi ganga, yo te ayudo a traducir. Yo le dije, you know what? Get out of my face. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
In Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this guy, and I would like to say him too. His name is Robert. He was a wide receiver for football of the school that I was. And he came to me, he said, I help you. And I'm over here, like, looking at him like, ¿qué habrá dicho blanco esto? Que no lo entiendo. So when he came to me, he wrote it down, and I took out my dictionary, and he put, I help you. Then I translate that in Spanish, and I'm like, oh, yo te ayudo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who pushed me to start getting English and learn more. He said, you know what, the best thing that you can do, honestly, mm-hmm. this is what he told me, don't hang out with your own people.
Yeah.
You want to learn quick, you come with us.
Yeah, you gotta immerse yourself.
Exactly. You gotta put yourself into that situation in order to learn. Y ese tricky de tener el diccionario, yo lo he escuchado de mucha gente. Yo creo que mami también me dijo que like a lot of people will carry pocket back. I guess that's where they made it, right? Pocket dictionary.
But you know what though? I think it's even harder to learn English than it is to learn Spanish. You know, when you learn the basics of Spanish, right? There's rules. You follow this rule, and that's just how you say it, right? But in Spanish or in English, we have rules, but we don't follow them. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense, and it's so hard to learn.
The thing is also when you talk to people in Spanish and then you do it in English, it sounds backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
exactly.
It sounds backwards. And I was always like, why did you say it like that? But then I went deep to the English, and I'm like, I got to get myself together.
And then the Spanish language itself is very... So a lot of people that go from English to Spanish have a hard time because the Spanish language itself, it has a lot of feminine and masculine words, right? So it's like really hard to... It's very gender-based.
It is, but language. Obviously I took Spanish classes in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my grandparents spoke the language. My parents both can speak the language, but I didn't grow up in a home that only spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
So it was really different for me. So when I started learning it, you know, you follow the rules and you can pretty much learn the language.
So back then there was no ajo con habichuela?
Rice and beans.
You know, I don't know, maybe it was a bilingual household because she did say that, but I always... Like, we always spoke English inside the home.
Yeah.
But
and it's a very interesting thing, and we're kind of going off topic.
Sorry.
But I like the conversation because a lot of times we don't bring it up. So a lot of people tend to think in their native language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in Spanish because it's the way that my parents brought me up. Mm-hmm. So imagino que lo mismo contigo, right?
Sí, sí, siempre.
Cuando tú piensas, estás pensando en español y después te sale en inglés.
Yo solamente pienso en inglés cuando estoy trabajando. Porque todo lo hablo en inglés.
That's weird.
Sí, tengo que hacerlo en inglés. Pero no lo
puedo hacer en español. Para que no se saque el disparate.
Sí, no, porque imagínate que yo vengo y le digo a una persona y le digo, you know what, tienes que arreglar. Pero, Sabe, you know, wait a minute. So I got to go in English. So because most of the time, all my customers are North American. So they, you hear that? North America. So you got the Central and South America. So I'm over here, like, you know what? Right here in the ceiling, like Puerto Rican said, en rufo. Right here in the ceiling, you got a crack. So we got to take care of that. If I've been thinking that in Spanish, and we got to go back to the radio. If I start thinking about that in Spanish, I'm like, tiene que coger. No, so that sounds, you know.
Yeah. It depends
so
where they're
from. Then it's going to take me more. But yeah, it was back over there was dictionary because we didn't have no phones.
Yeah.
There was no beepers.
There was no Google Translate.
No. Yeah. There was nothing to translate.
So they weren't teaching you English in Puerto Rico too?
You know what? They teach you the basic.
Or now they do.
Piso, floor, puerta, door.
Gallina, chicken.
Lápiz, pencil, y maestro, teacher. None of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the basic. Right now, I mean, since I haven't been in Puerto Rico for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm not never going to say that I'm not going back home also too because that's where I'm born, my whole land. I'm never going to say that I'm not going back to Puerto Rico unless God sent me. Mm-hmm. Then I will go to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Wherever God sent me. And then we're going to talk about that also, too, why I said God so much. When he sent me, then I will be in Puerto Rico. But I never said I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
For now, no, I don't want to stay here. But if I had to, I will come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in 1981, you went back home to Puerto Rico. And home is sponsored Puerto Rico. Any particular neighborhood?
Allí estaba creciendo en la urbanización El Madrigal, donde mami y papi estaba. It was like it's like a complex, but in an apartment. It's houses. And then I went over there, and what I did, I was just there for 6 months because I was trying to make money again. I went back again to do the DJ thing, scratching and backward with records and all that. I mean, I've been doing DJ since I was, what, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And I did that, and every time that I was making a party, it was $40. I'm like, esto no es dinero para mí.
Y en esos tiempos, si te puedes ir para atrás en esos tiempos y pensar, ¿qué es lo que tú querías hacer cuando... Like, you know, a lot of people think, when I grow up, I want to be this. What was in your mind? What
Mira,
you
want to do? Eran tres cosas. Eran tres cosas. Me gustaba ser bombero para ayudar a la gente. Pero cuando pensé que me iba a quemar mi cuerpo, dije, lo voy a hacer de los bomberos. Pensé también hacer policía también para ayudar a la gente y proteger a la gente. Pero dije, no, me meten un disparo, pierdo la vida.
Yeah.
Y después el tercero era el entretenimiento, que es la radio. La gente me decía desde pequeño, me dice, muchacho, tú con esa voz no eres locutor. Y le dije, yo lo voy a lograr.
¿Pero locutor o más allá de ser locutor, TV, radio, all of that, or just radio?
Fíjate, no, en el entretenimiento quería hacer los dos, televisión y radio.
Y es que se me olvida que en esos tiempos, radio was.
It was the big thing. That's how we got all our news.
Yeah, I mean, radio was, it was basically all the radio. You know, you have even, you know, like late 80s, 90s, you have people that were in radio that were making millions.
Yeah.
I understand where... Someone's mind may say, hey, you know what? I want to do radio, you know, whether it's sports or whether it's just talk radio
because
or just
because what happened with the radio, you got more time. Because most of the time, if we go back to the FCC, Federación de Comunicaciones, they usually give you a locutor 4 hours.
Mm.
So on the radio, you got more time frame to talk to people and let you stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
On the TV, you're going to do the news, it's like probably 30 minutes. And if you're going to do part
a segment,
if you're going to be an anchor, it's like a few seconds, a few minutes, and that's it. But on the radio, it was more open.
Yeah.
4 hours.
The format.
Five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The format was much more open. So you're in Puerto Rico, and then you come back, right?
Right.
Just Chicago? You only lived in Chicago? You didn't? That before Florida, obviously.
I went to Wilmington, Delaware for, I think it was a month and a half.
And that was... Before or after this time right now that we're talking about?
No. When I went back to Puerto Rico, I came back to Chicago, got married with my first wife. I say my first wife because I have a second one now. and then after that, I wanted to leave Chicago.
Yeah.
Because of the environment and all that, you know, I saw people that they really don't help each other and all of that. Then I went to move to Wilmington, Delaware with the Daisy.
Yeah.
But it was not working. It was something that I'm like, something that I'm missing. That in Chicago, I feel more open. And in Chicago, I saw more opportunity, big city.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back.
Okay. And then when we're back in Chicago, you have my cousins now, Monique. And You were still not on the radio, right? It took you quite some time. Before even coming to Chicago, were you in radio in Puerto Rico?
No, I was just doing DJ and talking on the microphone, like an MC.
So let's talk about getting into the radio here in Chicago. And like I was mentioning before, this was what year do you think?
Oh, my God, I can't remember.
90s?
It was the early 90s.
So I'm thinking, you know, this is prime time for
radio. That's where V-Fig was born. Early 90s.
Oh, well, let's not talk about years no more. When you talk about years, you got me worried.
Lo que quiero hacer es que quiero poner como un you know, I want to paint a picture of what was happening around that time,
I
right?
I go get some brushes.
So, yeah, I brought some actually. They're outside. So what's happening is that radio was the big thing during that time.
Right.
People were making, you have Mancow, right? One of the, Howard Stern. People can uno se pone a pensar, damn, this guy's making millions.
You got the guys B96, Eddie and Jovo.
¿Cómo se llama?
Eddie V and Jovo.
So these guys are making money. And it's just voice. It's no face, no nothing, faces, you know. Yeah. You're just listening to it. And the crazy thing is that and those young people that are listening, yes, you used to have to go on your car and you had to program the radio on the car and look for the dial, right? That's why they call it the dial. Vocali, se escuchaba static.
Pull it out and push it in.
Exactly. So it was a much more loyal base of people, right? So mm-hmm. I understand why, if you want to get into entertainment during that time, I understand why it will be radio, right?
Yes.
Because people will tune in at that time to hear you talk. So how did you even get into radio?
I don't know. You know what? Back then, I never said it was a blessing. Now I said it's a blessing because the opportunity that I have so many good locutores out there that I got picked, especially for La X Tropical. First of all, I was with all the 79, 81, and DJ and all that. Going back, I started working in Kelvin Park High School as a hamburger flipper. I was flipping the burgers and doing breakfast for a lot of students.
Yeah.
Then after that, not Ruben Contigo, your mother was the one to call me because she knows my passion, your mother. And she called me, she goes to me, I'm not going to say my nickname, what they call me. And then she called me and said, mira, Rubén Calderón está buscando una persona para que le maneje el programa Caribbean Beat, uh-huh. Ritmo del Caribe, o Rubén Contigo. That was, wait a minute, that was the 80s.
Yeah, late 80s. Well, no, yo creo que
los 90s, because Monique was 80, she born in 87.
87 and 88 for me, and so.
Yeah, it was 80s, not 90s, 80s. Yeah. Wow.
So I wasn't here yet.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's drop it.
You weren't even thinking about it.
Not yet. I wasn't here yet.
I didn't even think I was going to make it to 2017. It was that year, middle 80s.
Okay.
That's when your mother called me, and she said, mira, hermano, esta persona está buscando, la que mencioné ahorita, Rubén Contigo, está buscando para que alguien le corra un programa de videos. Because around that era, it was everybody wants to do videos. The music was in videos.
So, acuérdate, and back to putting it all together, MTV was a big hit at that time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, MTV was all music videos. So, obviously, if you're in the music genre, you definitely want to do videos. So, there was nothing that was putting Puerto Rican singers
Spanish
out there. So El General was a big hit during that time. So,
una libra de carne de esa
nena. So what he's talking about, it's a show that to this day is still around. And it's available through, I don't know if it was back then, was cable still?
It was cable, still cable.
Yeah, so you were doing that with Ruben.
See, right, everybody knows the channel like Coqui TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the first one was Che Maldonado. No, he passed away. He went to the good life now, I know that. Condolences for the whole family. Then, I was doing, I did a test with Ruben.
Yeah.
I don't know how he gave me the okay. He opened the door for me. Then when he opened the door for me, I was recording every Wednesday. So it was coming out on Sundays.
Yeah.
Through that, el señor Rey Rubio me escuchó.
Rey Rubio was another big personality here in Chicago, radio personality.
That's my padrino.
Yeah. Actor. He does all the festival, the Puerto Rican festivals.
That's my padrino because he was the one who really opened that big door for me. Awesome. Then after that, somehow, I cannot even remember.
Pero no estaba La X Tropical back then,
no?
Right?
No estaba.
So estaba que...
El 1240, el show de Rey Rubio.
Oh, okay,
yes. Entonces, I don't know how I got into that man. Y él me dice, muchacho, con esa voz tú deberías estar trabajando para mí. Y yo le dije, estoy disponible. Yo no tengo cadenas atadas, ni nudos atados con nadie, ni contrato. Mm-hmm. I was like 20-something years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how because much I want to tell you.
I start to think about, and the different guests that we brought in here have to do with the same, you know, entertainment or right. music. It's a very small community. Algo bien chiquitito aquí en Chicago. Sí. Tan grande que es la ciudad, pero casi todo el mundo se conoce cuando está hablando de entretenimiento yeah, y de artista y músico. So, me imagino que alguien le habrá mencionado, mira, ahí está un tal Luis Guillermo que está haciendo...
Posiblemente fue cuando yo comencé a hacer las presentaciones de El Ritmo del Caribe, Caribbean Beat. Ahí fue donde comenzaron a presentarse los videos musicales de diferentes géneros, pero en este caso más tropical. Ahí fue cuando creo que a Rey Rubio me vio, hizo contacto con Rubén, tuvo una cita con Rey. De ahí comencé a ser intern, que yo me acuerdo que también tu mamá me estaba cuidando a Monique. Uh-huh. Cuando estaba haciendo la televisión, y entonces cuando empecé a hacer el intern, cuando ustedes vivían acá cerca. Uh-huh. Bueno, no, aquí mismo. Pero acá. Primero era en el edificio, era Hamlin. Y después entonces, cuando comencé a hacer el intern... Es bueno, uno aprende mucho.
Shout out to April.
Sí.
April's part of the team. Marissa's our new intern now.
Marissa.
Intern es bueno.
April empezó como intern y ahora es parte del equipo.
Uh-huh. Mira qué bueno, qué bueno, qué bueno. Fíjate, entonces yo comencé así, intern, con el show de Rey Rubio en el 1240 aquí en la Belmont.
Que ahora es una estación de polaco.
Sí. Dzień dobry, colegas, Jan Szymacz. Ellos saben lo que yo dije. Y entonces comencé en el 1240. Siempre nervio está. Uh-huh. Aunque uno lleve muchos años haciendo estas programaciones, entrevistas, hablándole al público, uno el nervio siempre va a estar porque es natural en el ser humano. Me acuerdo cuando me dio esa oportunidad, yo no sabía usar el board ni nada. Yo solamente era el micrófono y le hacía seña al ingeniero. Vámonos a comercial, música. O sea, que uno se tira una seña para comercial, música, túmbame. Y así fue que comencé con Rey Rubio en el 1240.
¿Y él te enseñó el formato de la radio o tú
sí,
aprendiste?
No, él poco a poco me enseñaba, pero en sí Rey Rubio no era que estaba mucho conmigo. Era Freddy Abreu, mejor conocido como el Bello Bello.
Okay. Yeah.
Entonces, teníamos un formato. El que comenzó a enseñarme el formato fue el Bello Bello.
Okay.
Freddy Abreu. Rey Rubio era en otras palabras, el jefe de nosotros. Uh-huh, uh-huh. El que me dio esa oportunidad. Comencé a aprender el formato con el Bello Bello, que lo que le hablamos el formato es el reloj, trabajar con el reloj.
Sí.
Sí, que ya en punto de la hora, la identificación, siempre cuando uno abre el micrófono, darle las gracias al público. Porque ellos son los que están escuchándote, después identificar la emisora y después tu nombre.
Que algo bien importante, one of the things that I've learned when I went in college, I minored in radio broadcasting because of this man right here. and it was one of those things that they'll teach you that format, right? So yes. You had to always identify the radio station because
always.
When they're listening, so what is it? The FCC is listening, right? And
yes.
they're trying to see who they could find.
And if they're not listening, they're recording you.
They'll find you if you don't give them on the top of the hour, you have to say. So I don't know if you ever watched the Cubs game, right? And WGN always does that. At the top of the hour, they stop and they say, this thing is brought to you by
WGN.
This is WGN radio, whatever. It's because if you don't do that, when they're listening to the radio, they know that at the top of the hour, you have to do it. If you don't do it, you get a fine.
It's mm-hmm. the law.
So it's funny that you brought FCC, that up. It yeah. brought me back to those days of writing papers. Like, oh,
no,
at what time do you have to?
I was like, están escuchando el show de Rey Rubio, 1240 AM, Chicago, Illinois.
That's
nombre, Luis
stations?
Guillermo.
All radio station at the top of the hour.
All the time.
See, I'm learning.
Then when
yeah.
I was working for La X Tropical, uh-huh. there was a record, but it was like La X Tropical 1200 AM. And then it was like El Swing de la Mañana, César Omar y Luis Guillermo.
Signature line.
So most of the radio stations will have, like you said, recorded already, right?
Yes.
And you just press a button. But back in the day, I'm assuming it was all radio line.
It was like el ingeniero Macía.
Yeah, top of the hour. Yep.
That's
why the clock is a big deal, right?
Because yes.
Vamos el formato, right? So tira the radio identificación, yeah. Mm-hmm. How long is it normal to talk before you go to a song?
Did you like time yourself?
Prácticamente así, prácticamente fíjate, hablando de la identificación, tú puedes tirar la identificación 2 minutos antes de la hora y dos minutos después. O sea que tienes 4 minutos más o menos para...
Para jugar.
Exacto. Entonces después prácticamente si nos vamos a trabajar con el reloj, 12 minutos. Por ejemplo, entramos a las 12.
Ajá.
Si entramos a las 12 estamos bien. De las 12 a 12 minutos puedes ponerte dos canciones. El formato que nosotros teníamos era, poníamos las dos canciones y entrábamos 30 segundos, nos identificábamos, decíamos la estación, la X Tropical 1200 AM, el swing de la mañana, César Omar y un servidor Luis Guillermo. Y entonces César le decía su parte porque teníamos que dividirnos. Él le decía, mira, el día de hoy hablamos con esto. Entonces le digo, no se olvide que por ahí viene el viejito jocoso con los 8 de las 8 y también estaremos regalándole boletos para cualquier baile que hubiese en Chicago. Nos íbamos en 30 segundos. Regresábamos ya con la fuerza, con lo que íbamos a desarrollar el tema. El tema casi siempre lo sacábamos 5 minutos.
Y algo que one of the things that's very interesting to me, and I remember I didn't know how much work goes into just 1 hour.
Oh my God.
I can only radio. Imagine, because if you have to follow a format and a schedule, I need like a timekeeper, like 5 minutes, time to go.
You do. That's why you have a producer.
Somebody
right?
in the back.
That's like, why you have a producer.
And be doing this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I have. That's what we're gonna have Marissa do pretty soon. Just be
tough.
Also, Marissa's the producer.
Yeah,
she's the producer. So you guys are going too long.
So basically, that's why one of the things that I realized. I remember when I was taking classes and I was thinking back. I was like, "Dang, cómo lo hizo?" I was gonna say, "Yeah, iba a decir tu nickname."
Dilo, no importa.
Yeah, sí. ¿Cómo lo hacía tío Titito, verdad? Que entraba a la radio. Pero de ahí fue que yo creo que yo te había llamado una vez y yo te dije, man, yo no sé cómo tú,
si tú me llamas,
preparaba. Y yo creo que te llamé para que me diera advice, porque nosotros teníamos un show que se llamaba
Soul Frito.
And you will have to get together the day before. And basically, you do the show.
You do the show
and then you do it. I didn't know that was that much work. It's different with a podcast because it's much more relaxed. There's no music that they're paying you. You know, you're not getting paid by all these people to do commercials and all these things. So you will get together. You will do the first 12 minutes. Then what? Throw a song in?
We throw a song and if we check... How long was the song?
Mm-hmm. Una pregunta.
3 minutes. Dame dos.
Una pregunta. Dame dos. O tres.
Dame cuatro.
De música. You could tell me if you could talk about it or not. Pero
no, claro.
Sabes que mucha gente habla de payola.
Sí, siempre.
What's that?
Payola is that record labels will pay radio stations to play songs.
Siempre
it's illegal. It's illegal, right?
Siempre y cuando tú lo hagas al formato de como ellos te lo requieren, no hay problema.
¿Pasaba?
Sí. Sí, siempre, en todas las estaciones siempre pasa, yeah. Siempre pasa. Por ejemplo, yo en algún momento dado, cuando estaba en la X, y tiraba un plug, como tú hiciste ahora con Ray True, tiraba un plug, pues ya, pues uno siempre buscaba su regalito.
Yeah.
Siempre pasaba, en todas las estaciones siempre pasa una payola. Hasta yo te digo, los mismos anchors que te dan las noticias también te tiran una payola para saludar a alguien. Uh-huh. Hasta los baloncelistas, si tú ves que te lo tiran cuando se tocan aquí y hacen cosas.
Sí, sí. En estos tiempos mucha gente le llama la pauta, ¿verdad?
Exacto, porque quieren hacerse algo por el lado. Siempre lo hay. La maldad existe. En las comunicaciones también existe.
Yeah.
Siempre lo hay. Siempre, pues, muchas veces la música que se escuchaba número uno en la X Tropical era Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
Así que con eso te lo digo todo.
And it's very interesting that you mentioned, you know, Mark Anthony, and I love Mark Anthony, but there has been a lot of talk about,
oh my God,
certain record labels that they will do what they call payola and pay it for them to
I
listen to it. Y ahora lo que está pasando, imagino que pasaba antes también, es que pagaban para que no tocaran la música de otra gente.
Exacto, siempre sí.
Really?
So, yeah, so,
sí.
So,
oh,
in, for example, like reggaeton, or a lot of these reggaeton artists, reggaeton, I think was the biggest one that kind of brought it out, was that they will go in and say, hey, you know, sabes que Héctor Le Fada entraba y decía, yo no quiero que toquen la canción de Wisin y Yandel.
Reduce la canción.
Ajá. So they'll pay you to say, please don't play this song.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they will put it out there. So you're going through the format of the songs. You probably put specific songs that you wanted to hear during that time. And then you will go into the topic for 5 minutes, usually?
Yeah, most of the time. But if the topic, people start calling off the hook, we kind of like make a 10 minutes.
Hmm.
If it depends how people call la participación, but we're not going no more than 10 minutes. It's like other people, they like to go for half an hour. Because why? It gets boring.
Yeah.
It gets boring.
Especially when you're listening live radio.
And music.
Exactly.
When you got music and talk shows.
One of the biggest things that I've noticed, and this is how, going back to that payola topic, this is how you know because when you go to a radio, when you go to a radio right nowadays, you'll hear
the same song on both stations.
Bad Bunny on the first one, and then you'll hear Bad Bunny on the next station and whatnot. I think we lost the feed. That's why I was giving you the phone.
Oh, really?
Real quick. So we'll. You'll hear the same song, like it'll be five minutes this one, and then 5 minutes you go to another radio station, the same song again. So and it tends to happen. That's how you know.
Mm-hmm. That's what you call prime time.
And it's always during 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
That's when everybody's kind of like going back home or people going to work. That's prime time. That's a rushed hour.
Yeah.
That's what they usually. That's when the big money comes in.
The big money. That's where you want to have your commercial. Think about. Super Bowl, right? People pay $1 million minimum, I think, to be able to hear their commercial for, 30 seconds? Los comerciales casi siempre son, ¿qué?
30 segundos, un minuto.
Okay.
So our Facebook froze for a little bit. Marissa's trying to get it back on. Okay, but, sorry.
We're going
to
click the camera on real quick. Yeah. I'll cut it off from the recording.
Just send these configurations for me,
Bo. I'll set it up. But if you want to take it over, Vanessa, it's on you.
Yeah, you started with the Super Bowl. I don't have crush question, but going back, so I never knew about this whole pay thing. So how do radio stations decide what song they're going to play besides people who call in, can you play this? How do you decide what gets played on the station?
It's how the ratings are. Oh. Let's say, for example, if you played any song from an artist right now, I'll give you an example. I don't want to say any name. Let's say myself that I'm an artist. I sing, and if people like that, that's how you guys get it more. It's the rating, you know, how people really like the music. Then that's how you start moving it. That's
but
why
how do
you say,
get the rating? So like, how does that work? Does someone like see who tunes in?
Yes, I forgot. You can go to a website now, but I forgot about it. How you get the ratings?
Yeah.
I remember. I think it was yesterday we were talking about what happened one time with Like Tropical. For all those people that are right now and they remember Like Tropical, I used to do voices.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do three characters. There was one an old man, the other one was a funny guy, and the other one was a little kid.
Okay.
But the old man, it was the number one voice that our people was asking. And I remember there was one time I did a joke with the old man voice. And I thought I was going to be in trouble because I remember my mother, when she was alive, she called me and she said, that's not my son on the air. I'm like, yeah, mommy, it's me. And I just did that right away. The joke was very bad.
Vulgar joke.
It went beyond. And, uh-huh. and I remember that day when the boss came to the studio and she said to us, when you guys finish the show, I want to see both of you in my office.
Oh, man.
So I was scared. I'm like, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah.
Then my partner was scared, too. But I remember when we went to the office, she goes, me dice, Guillermo, cierra la puerta. I closed the door. And I was like, you know, looking.
Right.
But after a little while, she goes to me. She said a bad word, but I don't want to say it. And she goes, who was the one who came up with that idea? I said, that was me. And she shows that the numbers went very high. That's when I came out with the old man voice.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to do it more and more so we can keep that. Matter of fact, when we were up there, we did, I think, for 3 years together. Even with the AM station, we blew out B96.
Wow. Was back in the
90s.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember Eddie V and Jobo, great guys. I met them, great guys. They are good human people. I mean, humble. I remember there was a guy that he used to call us and he said, you know what? Eddie V and Jobo are talking about you guys.
Like bad? Talking?
No, good.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Okay.
They said, man, this little radio station, AM, Beatles again.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I grabbed the phone and I wanted to talk to them.
Yeah.
But most of the time with us, the phone was open for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
With them, they would the company, they control them.
Yeah.
You have producers.
Pick and choose. Producers and all that. Calls,
with us, Cesar and I were the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everything was open for us. There was no problem. And I think that's why people love us more, because we didn't have no limit. We just like, you know what? You want to come and spend a day with us? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Did they censor things too? Like things that you could say, couldn't say, you know, because it was live, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. But most of the time I was the crazy one and I didn't care. because I didn't care. I'm like, I want to do it because we were just looking for those numbers, and that's why we beat B96. Even with all the respect, even Mexican listeners start listening to us.
Yeah.
They start coming with the tropical music.
And we're back on Facebook Live. Sorry about that. Man, you know, this is live, so it cuts off here and there. Especially
cuando estamos en vivo.
Yeah, cuando pasan cosas así. Pero lo bueno de tener esto es que estamos entre familia y podemos seguir. Yo no tengo que parar y hacer el aguaje. So one of the things I wanted to mention, it's working.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to mention was, and I don't know if you did already, you probably did, that I remember in the newspaper you guys coming out as being, there used to be, and it probably still happens, there used to be a list that will come out, right? Nielsen Broadcasting, I think, the Nielsen list. It might be that. Nielsen, I think so. If you know what it is, comment on the page. But basically, this said where everybody was tuning into, right? Era como una forma que ellos podían ver
los esquemas. Like the most tuned in station?
Y veían los esquemas y decían, okay, esta gente está escuchando esta emisora. La XXXI came out number one in that list. And it beat out B96. B96 was the shit. It was the radio station.
3 years.
And I remember, I think we have it somewhere around here.
Like we said on the street, we were the...
Yeah, the shit.
you can say it.
Oh, my God. César y yo fuimos la...
So, and I remember this because during that time, I was in school, and I would listen to the radio every morning. And I knew that, you know, obviously it's your uncle. So you always see it in a different way. It's kind of weird. It's like I see this guy all the time. Like, I know who he is. You know, people are asking me, like, oh, yeah.
Did you feel really cool?
Yeah, it's also, it's like second nature. You know, it's like you hear it. I don't know. It was weird to hear him on the radio at first. And then it became where, like, it was the radio and then it was separate for being my uncle. You know, it was I didn't put two. Yo no sé qué es lo que pasa, pero como que uno no los pone juntos.
Al principio, sí, como tú dices. Sí. Después dice, nada, ese es mi tío.
Yeah.
Y ya yo llegaba a la casa y después no hablábamos de la radio. Estábamos natural, familiar.
Right, he was able to separate both.
Yeah, we used to just get together here in the basement. All activities, they were just here back there.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, okay. Entonces, then from there... Family's friends, they're like, kind of like, they were looking at me different. I'm like, don't be looking at me different.
Same thing,
I'm still your friend. I'm still Titito.
One of the questions, una de las preguntas que quería hacerte también era de, había alguien or was there someone that you looked up to in radio since you were a kid that you perhaps mimicked or tried to get some things from this person, that person? Was there any idols or any person that you looked up to in radio?
Una persona de Ponce, Puerto Rico.
¿Quién?
Marianito Altao.
He was a radio personality.
Tremendo locutor en la isla de Puerto Rico completo.
Yeah.
Ese, mi respeto para él. Pienso que estaba pasando algo bien delicado. Pero Marianito Altao fue una de las personas que yo pienso que para todo el mundo, una persona bien recta, bien clara en sus cosas. Cuando hacía unos comerciales daba gracias. Cuando entraba en el micrófono daba gracias. Que uno se paraba a escuchar esa voz.
Yeah.
Y Marianito Altao fue uno de los más ha llegado hacia mí.
Y algo bien interesante también es que cada país tiene su propio estilo de ser locutor. Por ejemplo, yo escucho la voz tuya y yo siempre digo, el estilo es más como si fuera Puerto Rico, right? I personally think, right? And then you listen to radio, people that have done radio here in Chicago, they have a different way of talking. It's kind of like the same kind of format, but it's because obviously you you're around those people, you kind of get that same style. So the other person I remember seeing was el estilo de hablar de entre tú y César Omar era bien diferente.
Sí.
So cuando ese dúo se juntaba junto, it was a nice combination because it wasn't boring, right? When you listen to somebody and the both locutores talk the same way, it's like I don't even know who's who. what are you doing? ¿Eso era algo que usted hizo de propósito o fue solamente que los dos tenían diferentes estilos?
Los dos teníamos diferentes estilos. Una de las cosas donde hubo esta unión fue por esa misma, la diferencia de estilo.
Ajá.
Hay otras personas que le gusta imitar. Una de las cosas, pues yo era más tropical y era más de allá de Sudamérica.
César es real laid back cuando habla. And you're very straightforward, to the point. You know, estoy aquí, te voy a dar the news and very articulate. Encima.
He doesn't think. That's how he does it.
I mean, siempre,
I was like, how do you do that? He's like, I don't think.
I admire that because that's very hard to do. Me imagino que a lo mejor, no sé, Para ti es algo que te ha salido, pero hay otros locutores que han tenido que practicar.
Y lo he visto porque muchas personas me decían, mira, cuando tú vayas a ir al aire, siempre mírate un espejo y practica en tu casa. Yo no lo hacía. Pero sí, yo le digo a la gente cuando tienes nervios, le digo, si no sabes qué decir, no sabes qué hacer, no te viene nada en la mente, no hables. Uh-huh. Practica si tú quieres en el espejo tú mismo para que tengas confianza. Pero en cuanto de César Omar y un servidor Luis Guillermo, éramos espontáneos los dos. Sí llevábamos una producción a la cual los dos nos sentábamos a hacer la producción de la X Tropical, el swing de la mañana. Pero éramos diferentes porque tenía su estilo y yo tenía el mío. Él no se copiaba de mí, yo no me copiaba de él. Ninguno de los dos copiamos a nadie. De que si agarramos un poquitito de muchos de los locutores para levantarnos un poco más y refrescarnos y saber cómo dirigirnos a un público, sí lo hicimos, porque siempre uno tiene que sonar bien. Yo me acuerdo una de las veces que me decían, Luis Guillermo, no puede estar sonando muy puertorriqueño, porque aquí no solamente el puertorriqueño vive. Y de ahí fue que nos agarramos y dije, tengo que hacer un cambio, porque yo quería que me escuchara no solamente el puertorriqueño, que me escuchara el venezolano, colombiano, guatemalteco, mexicano, hondureños, todo Centro y Sudamérica. Y sí, gracias a Dios, salió eso. Y es una de las cosas que quiero añadir. Cuando entonces nosotros sacamos el eslogan que decíamos, latino, aquí está tu swing.
Y eso era empezando con el swing de la mañana. Yo me acuerdo que también en esos tiempos, I mean, I was a kid during that time, but I remember...
You're still a kid for me.
I remember during that time too, other radio stations try to mimic the swing de la mañana. I mean, the morning thing has happened for a very long time. The morning shows have happened. There's been different formats. El swing de la mañana te tiraba un poquito de parody, you know, parodia de cosas. Te tiraba canciones que te le cambiaban las letras. Te tiraban, you know, personajes. You had characters that would come into the show. So it was a very, I mean, these things have been happening in other places, but not here in Chicago, right? So no. I think Puerto Rico had one, el vacilón de la mañana, probably. I don't know if it was before or after swing. Pero también,
estamos iguales.
Pero también empezaron otras emisoras aquí a copiarse un poco, ¿verdad? Empezaron a traer diferentes personas, programas para la mañana.
Como entró, cuando en esos momentos entró, muchos de ustedes se acuerdan, el Cucuy de la mañana. Comenzó a entrar, y casi estaba tratando de hacer el formato, pero ellos eran más norteños. Nosotros hacíamos, el formato nuestro era para todo latinoamericano, que podíamos, a veces entraba un personaje que nos llamaba y hacía como mexicano. Y nos ayudaba. Entonces ahí fue cuando los hermanos mexicanos se empezaron a unir nosotros. Nosotros éramos para el pueblo y por el pueblo. Nosotros no nos veríamos con no, tenemos que ser así, no es que nos reciban así. Nosotros queríamos ser como tú querías que nosotros fuéramos.
And I think a very important thing, and I think you mentioned it when I was gone doing things, was that since you guys were smaller at the time, right, or the vision, the people perceived you as a smaller radio station. La gente pensaba que era una estación más chiquita. Ustedes se podían hacer más cosas, you know, you could, ¿cómo que dicen? Se puede, you could get away with a lot more things.
Oh, yes.
So one of the things that I remember from La Equi Tropical was that it was very, like you mentioned, very much of El Pueblo, but you guys will get a lot of callers calling in. And it's funny because your uncle, which shout out Joel, if you're watching the Facebook Live, he always mentioned that he will call, and he's like, oh yeah, yo conozco
your uncle's
tío
name?
Tío Joel?
Joel Negron.
Uh-huh.
Joel.
And he will call the radio station and he will talk
to... If my titi Mary's listening, please go get him so he can listen.
Yeah, big shout out. So he will call. He's like, yeah, I remember your uncle, Luis Guillermo, because I will call all the time and he'll put me on air and we'll mess around.
Te pregunto, con todo respeto, Joel, no me acuerdo, me suena el nombre. ¿Gordito?
No, real skinny.
Okay.
Well, te enseño la foto cuando terminemos.
Okay. Pues Joel, si estás por ahí, Dios te bendiga, saludos. Y gracias por llamarnos, de verdad, buen trabajo.
Yeah, he's from Manatee.
From Manatee.
Ajá.
Sí, buen trabajo, gracias por llamarnos y molestarnos tanto, ¿sabes? Y molestar especialmente a Don Boyo en aquel momento.
So ellos llamaban, and I think that's one of the things, because I've talked to a lot of people that have listened to the show before, or La Equi Tropical, y eso es lo que me menciona. Oh, yeah, yo llamaba y hablaba con ellos por y la gente le gustaba que ustedes cogían el teléfono y hablaban con ellos. So, yeah, no era un producer, no, no era otra persona. Era usted y la gente se sentía like, oh, wow, like this person is taking their time, sí. aunque no esté en la, on air or anything, right. taking their time and talking
listening
to me.
Listening to everybody.
If there was one, we're getting closer to the hour here, so y hemos tirado diferentes temas y eso, pero if there was one thing that you could change from that little bit of time in the morning, I'm not talking about when you went solo or anything like that, for the swing de la mañana, if there was anything that you could change, what would you change, if there's anything?
Fíjate, no, todo estaba bien. Yeah. Porque una de las cosas que nosotros no... Teníamos el formato de la música con el reloj, pero nosotros mismos éramos espontáneos. O sea, que no le cambió nada. Okay. Salía todo espontáneo, no lo planeábamos, no hacíamos, no, tú vas a decir esto, yo voy a decir esto, no. Era una química entre César y yo. Que eso es lo que te quería decir. Cuando yo comencé con la X Tropical, comencé casi interim, tercer turno, trabajé fuerte para hacer producciones, mm-hmm. como por ejemplo muchas de ellas, no sé si se acuerdan, La Quemazón, que eran todos los sábados, yeah. donde yo hacía el personaje de Creditín, mm-hmm. que era el niño malo. De ahí comenzamos, yo mismo hice el interim, así que lo que me están escuchando, intern es bueno, porque vas a tener después la recompensa. Sí. ¿Cómo se llama otra vez? La de producciones, Marisa. Vas a tener la recompensa, ya tú verás. Y yo lo hice porque tuve tercer turno, más todos los sábados paraba de hacer cosas con la familia para ir a hacer la quemazón los sábados. Y no le cambió nada. Fue una bendición, uh-huh. donde aprendí tanto de César como César aprendió de mí. Y por eso César dice que él es adoptado puertorriqueño. O sea, que fueron una cosa linda de añadirle más horas.
Más horas, okay. Y eso es algo que yo quisiera preguntarle. Y si están escuchando, a lo mejor los que estaban parte de la producción, a ver si un día podemos juntarnos todos juntos. Porque son preguntas que a lo mejor gente tendrán, you know, what would they change? You know, what did they do wrong? Why is it not around anymore? You know, we talked about it in the first podcast, and that's why I don't want to talk about it too much, but yo quiero que la gente vaya al first podcast, ese que hicimos. If you want to know more about the rise of La X Tropical, some of the changes that happened and why it went down, and the way that it went down, listen to the first podcast.
Me da sentimiento de
yeah. Listen to the first podcast. Es un plug. Es para tirar un plug.
Sí, no, escúchalo. Yo salgo llorando.
A mí me gustaría tener a lo mejor a otra gente de la producción para hablar sobre algunas cosas que a lo mejor no tienen que ver con lo que tú estabas haciendo. A lo mejor no estaba entrando sponsors, o los sponsors querían irse a otros lugares. Pero son cosas que nosotros podemos aprender de eso, uh-huh. y arreglar el futuro, ¿verdad?
Es triste, claro que sí. Gracias, sobrino. Y a todos los que están conectados a través de Facebook. Y la verdad, de verdad, que es un placer estar con ustedes una vez más. Es triste porque ayer cuando yo regresaba para acá, César regresaba para su país. Uh-huh. Y yo creía que él estuviera aquí ahora mismo. Así que la excusa de César, él trató de hacer todo lo posible. Lo que pasa es que el costo de cambio de pasaje era muy caro. Y le dije, César, no importa. En otra ocasión que él va a venir, posiblemente lo podemos hacer desde el estudio mío, porque él va para Orlando otra vez para Kissimmee. Así que de parte de César Osmar, excúsenlo. El dinero fue bastante grande. Viajar de aquí a Paraguay es mucho dinero. Y la línea aérea que él va para allá cobra bastante caro. Así que de parte de César Osmar, le enviamos muchos saludos.
Especialmente con todas las cosas que están pasando ahora mismo.
Sí.
Es difícil tener que cambiar. Pero una de las cosas que yo quisiera hacer es, en un futuro, poder tener a lo mejor el equipo de producción que tenía ustedes dos juntos, para poder hablar un poquito más sobre las cosas que estaban pasando tras bastidores, con ese backstage.
Mira, ahora que tú mencionas eso, yo pienso que en la primera que me hiciste, me preguntaste cómo salió el viejo Jacinto. No sé si te acuerdas.
Yo creo que sí.
Sí, y bueno, pues quiero enfatizar un poquitito más de eso. El viejo Jacinto salió. Yo, que era el que a veces, cuando César tenía que estar bregando, porque César era el que llevaba el control. Ajá. Yo era el que estaba en el otro lado haciendo los personajes. Parecía un loco con tres micrófonos. La gente dice, ah, pero qué chévere. Pero tenía tres micrófonos, tenía que estar corriendo, porque cada micrófono tenía un sonido diferente, uh-huh. la programación.
Y era más fácil cambiarlo.
Exacto, que uno está algo que cambia, para que sino que movía los micrófonos. Uh-huh. Y me acuerdo que una vez fui a buscar café, a ver si te acuerdas. Y fui a buscar el café, que nosotros bebíamos mucho café para estar hyper, imagínate.
Porque 5 de la mañana.
No era fácil estar allí temprano en la mañana. Y me acuerdo una vez que la puerta del estudio era tan pesada, y yo venía con los dos cafés, con uno de los cafés se me arramó, y empujé la puerta y le digo, óyeme, Pancho Carequeso, open the door, please. Y de ahí salió la voz de Jacinto, de Don Boyo para aquel Don tiempo. Boyo. Ahora es Jacinto conmigo. Ahí salió la voz del viejo, y César Omar me mira y me hace... Digo, para. Y como nosotros, con los micrófonos apagados, nos decíamos barbaridades. Y yo le digo, papá, yo le decía, yo me acuerdo, con todo el respeto, César, te amo, tú lo sabes que te amo. Yo le decía, papá, te estás poniendo marica que me estás mirando así medio... ¿Me entendieron? That was too fast.
A little bit. I'm like, honestly, I'm like picking up like 75% of this, but okay. You know, I'm going along.
What happened was when I went in and I came up with a voice, uh-huh. He was looking at me like, you know that the movie Karate Kid, the little kid?
Uh-huh, yes.
That when he's looking at the eagle or the bird, and he's like... So I saw César looking at me like that. And I went to him and said, are you getting gay or what? What's wrong with you? You gay now? Oh, no. So why are you looking at me like that? Me say, you know what? We're going to use that voice. And that's when the old man came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking.
But yeah, back with the microphones off. Oh, yeah. My God. And a lot of things happen that I don't want to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's the best way, too, is when things just happen naturally.
Yeah.
You know, organically.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. don't have to actually go in and hacer un libreto, nada así.
Yeah.
Es que salen mejor las cosas. I mean, si uno habla con diferente gente que han sido, you know, successful, te dicen lo mismo que salió de...
Mira, pues fíjate, sí que tratamos en un momento dado de hacer una programación bien organizada. Pero cuando nos dieron la luz verde, le digo, ¿sabes qué? Teníamos libretas y todo, Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Y así seguimos. Y fueron, bueno, te digo, como le estaba diciendo a ella al principio, it was 3 years in the row that we were number one. And I can't believe it. I still don't believe it that mm-hmm. we beat Eddie and Jobo for 3 years.
Yep.
I mean, thanks to you.
The listeners.
Because
yeah.
The listeners. It was not, we were nobody without you. And talking about that, when people used to call us, yeah, they used to say, can I spend a day with you guys? Yeah.
Yo me acuerdo. I think yo fui una vez. Cuando era chiquito, y ahí fue, yeah. Tudito me cuidaba en el camerino.
En el estudio. I think that was when I was by myself.
Yeah.
That's when we got
Eso split. Era antes, no, antes. Yo creo que era antes cuando estaba haciendo el internship.
Oh, okay.
Que me llevaste,
third
yeah, era bien tarde y era...
It's worth it.
Overnight, yeah.
It's worth
Pero también
it.
Cuando hiciste, tú estabas haciendo prime time, right? 5, 6 o'clock in the mm-hmm. afternoon. I think I went a couple of times después de la escuela con Monique.
We split. César and I, we split. And then, entonces, ahí fue donde César pasó con el sabroso y que ella, sí, lloramos los dos.
Yeah.
Lloramos los dos. Tanto César como yo nos encontramos que nos separaron. El pueblo caribeño, el que nos seguía, hicieron boycott, trajeron palcantas, hicieron...
Yo me acuerdo, ya. Yeah.
Hicieron muchas cosas que nos separan el swing de la mañana. Ahí fue donde comenzó el celo, porque ya el tercer año que estábamos nosotros número uno, comenzó el celo de otros latinoamericanos y pues nos separaron. César se fue en un momento dado con Sabroso,
uh-huh.
que se llamaba La Bulla.
Acuerdo,
no fue lo mismo, la gente no le encantaba. Con todo el respeto a Kelvin, a que te amo también. Y él lo sabe que la gente no le cantaba. Él lo decía, le decía, aquí la pareja es Luis Guillermo y César.
Yeah.
No puedo. Nadie podía entrar con César y nadie podía entrar conmigo porque éramos diferentes.
Uh-huh.
Entonces, cuando yo me fui solo, que fue el manejando con Luis Guillermo, uh-huh. yo me traje mis personajes.
Yeah.
Entonces, ahí fue cuando yo solo volví otra vez a levantar. Y creo que La Bulla se quedó así más o menos. Después, en ese tiempo, fue cuando perdí a tu abuela, a mi mamá.
Yeah.
Y hubo un cambio en mi corazón inmenso.
Y pasa, you know, y ha pasado con mucha gente que certain things happen in life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, las cosas pasan.
Definitely.
Una también nunca te pasó during your time that someone might have, did anyone ever have hate, como dicen, o did anybody ever try to hit you with some hate?
Y uno, muchas veces.
Haters.
How did you react to that?
No le hacía caso.
Yeah.
No lo
¿Se te hacía fácil o...?
Por cierto...
Porque mucha gente dice, no le hagas caso, pero se hace, si a mí me mandan un hit, yo como sí. que me molesta. Yo
no sé fíjate que el mismo compañero mío, César, me decía, no le hagas caso. Fue de adentro, adentro mismo.
Y tú no te dabas
rabia. Y de afuera, pues, fueron muchas, la cual no quiero mencionar su nombre. Sí, en un momento enseñé un poco, pero aprendí a bajar y a ser más humilde, humble.
Yeah.
Y comencé a recibir esas palabras positivas Y sí, me pasaban por el lado y cada vez que había estaba en la tarima, porque entonces ahí fue cuando los chicos del swing, así era que nos llamaban, decían, queremos a los chicos del swing. Teníamos festivales peruanos, colombianos, venezolanos, dominicanos, cubanos, mexicanos, y entonces nos querían a nosotros a cada rato. No teníamos vida casi, porque eso era miércoles, jueves, viernes, sábado y domingo, nosotros en la calle. Por ese poquitito también perdía yo de estar mucho con mis hijas y mi familia. Por el trabajo, porque era trabajo. No era, pues yo quiero que me señalen. Era el trabajo como si fuera trabajo en una fábrica, a la cual yo quería hacer ese trabajo siempre. Pero sí hubieron varios adentro y también de afueras. Y cada vez que, como te digo, cada vez que trepábamos tarima, tanto nosotros profesionalmente, César y yo le enviamos saludos con nombre y apellido a esas personas. Le enviamos un saludo de tarima. Sí, queremos aprovechar el momento, Néstor, que estamos acá en la tarima, felicitar a uno de nuestros compañeros o a uno de otras radios que están por aquí pasándola. ¿Qué tal? Saludo, aquí estamos para servirle. O sea, como se dice en inglés, kill with kindness. Entonces nosotros lo hacíamos with kindness. Even though inside I was a little upset, but you know what? I learned. I said, you know what? I'm gonna kill them with kindness. Y hasta pararon de odiarnos tanto. No, hasta periódicos, no me acuerdo muy bien los periódicos que salieron acá en la en el pueblo de Chicago, donde en un momento dado a mí me quemaron. Yo todavía tengo ese periódico. Sí, a mí me quemaron. Ese Luis Guillermo que se cree él, lo tengo en una página completa.
Y yo me imagino que en esos tiempos no estaban las redes sociales como ahora. Imagínate si tuviera. Oh my God.
Sí, yo tengo ese periódico, no me acuerdo si todavía sigue publicando, sale de la Division. Primero fue a mí. Y después se comenzaron a quemar el swing de la mañana. Después quemaron a Marilyn Santiago. Y nosotros lo leíamos y nosotros lo decíamos en el aire. Nosotros no teníamos pelo en la boca. Nosotros lo decíamos. El que no le gustaba que cambie el canal. Pero con todo eso siempre tuvimos ese gran apoyo de todo, no solamente caribeño, sino todo centro y suramericano.
Sí, y eso es algo que ha sido bien importante, porque como que ya no existe una plataforma así. Para la gente caribeña, especialmente aquí en Chicago, no hay algo que toque la música de nosotros, no hay algo que hable como nosotros. So it's one of those things that when I talk to a lot of people, they feel like there's an emptiness. It's lost, right? There's nothing there to identify with. And I think that when you guys had La Eje Tropical, because La Eje Tropical was around years before even Swing de la Mañana started. But I think that when you guys brought that dynamic of Swing de la Mañana, it brought back memories of being in Puerto Rico or being in the Dominican Republic, because that's how their radio stations are over there. You know, it's very much a cultural thing. So we've definitely taken a whole hour, longer than an hour. I know that there's been a lot. I think we touched upon topics that we didn't touch upon the first time, much more deeper into what radio is. If somebody wants to hear you now, where should they go?
They can go to engozo.com, E-N-G-O-Z, no Z, Z-O.com. Una vez más, es engozo.com, which is in English is the joy, but it's in Spanish. Es engozo.com, E-N-G-O-Z-O.com. Ahí me pueden escuchar. Estoy tratando de levantar una programación de 5 a 7 de la tarde. Como siempre, micrófono abierto, teléfono abierto, porque yo quiero que usted sea parte de la programación. Ese fue uno de los éxitos nuestros en el swing de la mañana, que nosotros hacíamos que el público fuera parte de la programación. Cuando estábamos en tarima, nosotros nos bajamos de la tarima para estar con el público. A veces se molestaban y decían, ¿dónde están los muchachos? Nos buscaban diferente, nos íbamos con los micrófonos. ¿Por qué? Porque nosotros éramos para el público. No de esas personas que se mantenían en la tarima y querían ser señalados. A mí no me interesaba. A mí, por cierto, ayer mismo, saludo me están escuchando y están en sintonía, porque lo mencionamos, Jessica, la nenita que estaba bailando al frente. Esa nenita, con todo respeto, no lo digo de burla, ella ayer me dio un beso, me abrazó, me llenó de baba, me sudor, a mí no me importó. Eso nosotros lo hacíamos antes. Ese era César Omar y Luis Guillermo, donde nosotros íbamos, donde la gente la complacíamos. Mira, nosotros hasta los CDs y los tickets que se ganaba la gente, nosotros se los llevamos. Nosotros fuimos bien para ellos, para el pueblo.
Y te quiero dar las gracias por aportar un poquito de tu tiempo. I know that we have a lot of different things. He was supposed to be just hanging out with me and I put him on to the show. Yo la razón en que te traigo, me gusta traerte siempre, es para que nos dé, hay tantas cosas que pasaron en esos tiempos, y no solamente en esos tiempos, pero tantas cosas que pasan. You know, like we say, everything happens for a reason. Y yo me imagino que hay gente escuchando que a lo mejor se quiere meter a la radio, a lo mejor quieren hacer podcast. Y a mí me gusta darle a los que están escuchando, you know, la idea y las cosas que ellos pueden hacer para también llegar a ese mismo...
Fíjate, no es nada difícil. Antes que nada, a través de esta trayectoria, ahí fue cuando perdimos a mi madre, a tu abuela. Uh-huh. Ahí fue donde poco a poco yo comencé a recibir ese toque en mi corazón del Señor.
Yeah.
Donde ahora lo que estoy haciendo, la emisora que le mencioné, en gozo.com, una emisora cristiana, no es nada aburrido, así como dije ayer. Usted conéctese porque se va a acordar mucho del swing de la mañana, porque lo que quiero llevarle y proyectar es alegría, dejarle saber que hay un Dios vivo, el que te ama y te quiere. Siempre le digo a las personas que si viene del corazón, que lo siga. Uh-huh. Si viene de la mente y por ser señalado, no lo hagas. Pero si viene de tu corazón, donde tú quieres seguir levantando, y especialmente nuestra cultura latinoamericana, hazlo. Porque a veces, comencé a hablar ahora más en español, porque quiero que ustedes también sigan acostumbrándose, como le dije anterior, antes que comenzáramos esto, nunca te olvides de dónde viniste. Uh-huh. Sigue tu corazón, el éxito lo vas a conseguir.
Thank you. Y con esas palabras, I think that's the best way to end the show. Pero otra vez quiero decirte gracias por venir con nosotros. Aunque eres mi tío.
I translate.
No, that part I understood very clearly.
But the rest I would translate if you want me to.
I think the next time that we're going to get together, I'm going to do it in Florida. So it could be nice and warm. Y así no tiene tanto frío.
Exactly, yeah. I'll
you don't need to put that cold.
Cool.
Thank you so much once again. If you want to follow and you want to listen to a different format of radio, of Christian radio especially, go to engoso.com. If you want to go ahead and share this Facebook Live, I'm actually going to release the full video on YouTube, also, which I forgot to plug, our YouTube channel, which is also available as LaVel.LTD. Go ahead and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much. Thank you, VFig. It's been wonderful. Now let's watch some football. Get some football in our system.
I want to celebrate my brother's birthday. Yeah, we're going to go bowling. And I'm sorry, it's just scared myself on in Spanish, but I would translate.
No, you're
and
good.
Whoever's in Facebook right now, I would translate. But you know what? How am I going to translate? When you get together with me in gozo.com and you're going to receive the word of the Lord. It's not boring. You're going to be happy.
Perfect. Thank you, mi gente, and God bless. Peace.
God bless.